Let's begin from where we have been reading for some time. That's the book of Daniel. Which chapter now? I'll just get down to the verse that we have been reading, verse 32. That's a specific verse. It said, by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. He said, yet they will fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by plunder for many days. Now, let me just stop there. The emphasis being in that verse 32, he says that by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. I can't remember specifically where we ended last time. What was the last thing we said? I'm just trying to. But I know what I want to start with today. But it's the same thing anyway. Talking about prayer and personal purification. Let's open also to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Did we read this one last time? All right, let's read that one also. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll say some things and then we'll get into the main thing I want to do, that I want us to do today. Paul said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Then he began to describe the things that God did for us, how beautiful those things were. And he now described, I'm jumping many verses now to get down to verse 15. By the time he finished that, he now went down to say, for this reason also, verse 12, 15, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, for this reason I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. And then I went ahead to describe many things in that area. Why did I read this? We have been talking about prayer and personal purification, and I don't want to get tired of repeating the things that we have been saying, so that people may be established in the truth. The fact is that, I always start with that, Satan is not as powerful as people think he is. He is not. In fact, I was reading a book, which I was just telling my wife yesterday and today. I said, this man, anybody reading, hearing him, or reading him, will think that he and I used to discuss. You understand? That he was describing some things. I said, the very things, in fact, using the same scripture, using the same New American Standard that I use, except that he's an American, and I'm sure he has never heard of me. Well, I don't know, all right? But definitely he's not writing based on what I have said. I never read him or heard him until recently, and I've been saying the same things for a very long time. He said that we have overestimated the power of the devil. In fact, he says, if you get my tweet, all right, if you follow me on Twitter, there was something I said last time, and it was the one I was quoting, all right? Though I didn't give the whole gist. But the point I was trying to make is that where he was saying that the world, the church, lies to the world, all right, about what is going on, and that the world, how do I say it now? Let me give an example. Let me tell you what he was trying to say. That when there's calamity, people say it's not God, it's the devil. Are you getting my point? The man says it's a lie, it's God. You've heard me say that again and again. The man says it's a lie. That's how we'll be deceiving everybody, saying he's not God, he's the devil. He said, now they don't fear God anymore, they are afraid of the devil. Now, I'm adding those words to it now. That is not, what it means is that it was referring specifically to natural disasters. That a hurricane comes and people say that it is not God, it is the devil, does not destroy. He said he doesn't know which Bible they read. Now listen to me, he said the devil does not have the power to cause any hurricane. He said what we should do as Christians is to explain to people judgment, that's how God's judgment is. And except you repent, you will likewise perish. When I read it, I laughed. I said, why we say that? We don't want God to look wicked. And because if God were to show up on CNN, he said, God, you mean you are responsible for making all these children die? And that man was like, he said, yes, God does that. After all, he commanded people, go and destroy everything, old and young. He said, what? I'm adding my own words. I'm mixing his words and mine together now. Why are we afraid to say that God can kill even children? The truth is that you read your Bible very well. He does. In fact, before I read that, his book, you know, I just finished writing an article titled, I said, God the Father and God the Judge. It's an article, about 7 pages I just wrote, but it's not the type I send around because it's quite, deep. Let's use the word deep. So I don't send that to 2,000 people like they go. You know, I share with some of my brethren, share with those who want to read. 7-page article. I titled God the Father and God the Judge. All right? What I'm going to emphasize is that we overestimate the power of the devil. We overemphasize the role that the devil plays. You know, you hear people say that Hitler just sold himself to the devil and all of that, and so he killed 6 million people. The devil doesn't have that amount of power to kill 6 million people. He doesn't. What we should, like that man was saying in that book, he said we should be afraid of God. And you know that I've been preaching for a very long time. I've been saying that for a very, very long time. I've been saying it for a very long time. Satan cannot, he can't kill 2 people unless God allows it. And when I say allow, it's not as if, okay, do as it like is. Go. Go and do as you have requested. I'm going to emphasize something. You are not at peace because Satan is merciful currently. He's never merciful. The devil is never kind. Never. Go and read the book of Revelations. You'll find out that all the calamities that came upon this earth was because Jesus tore a book, you know, like open the seal. Open the seal. And then the first angel will sound. And you start hearing, whoa, whoa. I mean, it's not devil. Come on. Even the devil gets afraid at that particular point in time. Lest the whoa afflict him also. Now, I'm not emphasizing all of this so people will understand. Satan doesn't have the kind of power you think. Oh. What did I say? He does not. I was reading that book since the last few days, and it was just so exciting. I was laughing. When the man quoted one verse and said, this is New American Standard, I told my wife, this man is even using my version of the Bible. But it's just simple truth. We're just reading things that I think anybody who opens his eyes, all right, will be able to see in the scriptures. Please, Satan doesn't have that kind of power. Our problem, now, back to my message now. What we need is to walk in a manner that's pleasing to God, and all the accusations, all the temptations, and all the petitions of the devil against us will not work. So, Balaam said clearly to Balak, this does not work. You can't curse these people and expect any effect from it. Let's abandon that. Then he now went and taught Balak how to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel. So he brought to them idol worship and sexual immorality. They go together. In fact, that book I've been telling you about for a long time, worship and sex control. That's what I wanted to explain in the book. That idol worship and sexual immorality, they go together. They are hand in hand. They can't leave each other. They can't. And anytime you see all this shout of homosexuality, it's always directly tied to denial of God. So you can't help it. You can't help it. They usually follow each other, in my opinion, by one generation. So if a nation decides to deny God as an institutionalized matter, 40 years later, thereabout, he will establish and legalize homosexuality. It always goes hand in hand. It's always a sign of the denial of God. So when you find those kind of things in society, it's because the society has run away from the knowledge of the true God. It always works like that. So what Balaam did was to explain, this is how to get these people. And when he did that, it worked. Once the people began to follow the girls from Moab for idol worship and all of that, and that's it, God himself released a plague into the place. And we are saying all of this so that when we are praying, Our prayer is for personal purification so that we don't give the devil any advantage in our lives. That's what I'm trying to explain. All this emphasis on Satan, enemy. You know, I said last time and I'm saying it again. Job did not know the devil existed. Abraham did not know the devil existed. Isaac did not know the devil existed. David, with all his insight, never knew the fellow existed. And what could the man do to David? Nothing. He couldn't do anything to David. The time David entered into real trouble was when, just like it is, you know, it was in Moab with Balaam. He too began to look across the wall. You know, that was when calamity came to his household. So what do we pray? That's what I'm talking about. Why do we pray? He said, pray like this, that you do not enter into temptation. He said, teach us how to pray. He says, pray amongst the prayer points he gave them. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the doing of evil. That's what he said. Do not lead us into temptation. That is, don't let us fall into this thing so that we begin to do evil. Because until we do evil, there's nothing the devil can do. He doesn't have that power. Listen, stop focusing on the devil. Today I resist you. I told you, you don't have to use the word Satan, I resist you, for him to be resisted. You resist him steadfast in your faith. Resistance to the devil is steadfastness of faith. You cannot say, I'm resisting the devil, and then you are shaking your faith. Now lie. That word, I resist you, Satan, means nothing unless you are resisting him steadfast in faith. That was why when Jesus wanted to resist Satan every time, you will see it was always tied to the steadfastness of faith. It is written. That's what faith is. Obedience to the recorded word of God. That's what faith is. Every time he wanted to resist, he always resisted according to what was written. Obedience to the word of God. It's not Satan, it's not good though. That's not my nature. You understand my point? I don't like that kind of a thing. I've not done it before. I don't know whether you get my point. That is not how to resist Satan. If my father catches me. No. We resist steadfast in faith. That is according to the word of God. So Jesus will say all the time, it is written. It is written. Even when he spoke to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. He said that you don't understand the purpose of God. This thing had to do with the knowledge of the purpose of God. It's steadfastness of faith. That's what resists the devil. It's not tonight, brethren, we are going to resist the devil. Let's begin to resist. We resist you. We resist you. Oh, Holy Ghost fire against all your works. I've told you before, better stop that nonsense of Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire only falls on those who believe. And it helps them, fills them with power. It gives them boldness, makes them speak in new tongues. Are you getting my point? Stop wasting it on unbelievers and wicked souls. Why do you want to anoint a wicked man? Say, Holy Ghost fire is upon you. What is Holy Ghost fire doing on him? Fire should fall on you, amen? Let me pray for you. May the Holy Spirit fire fall on you.
Amen.
Holy Ghost fire on you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On me too, all right? Yeah, it's important. We just carry things that are good and holy. We cast them to dogs. Holy Ghost fire has now become things we used to be fighting people. Holy Ghost fire is for you. It is for me. It comes upon you. You catch fire. You gather boldness. You are not afraid of being unpopular. I was teaching on Saturday. We'll continue next Saturday. Truth. That's the problem now. Truth is dead. That is what happens to Saul. The people. It is the people. Trying to do what pleases the people. But when the fire of the Holy Spirit really comes upon you, you will not be afraid of anybody. You will come like Peter. You will come out and declare the word of God. When they say, don't preach in that name, you say, brethren or elders, you serve George. Like we say here, you serve, check him. Is it good to disobey the word of God and be obeying the word of man? You serve, check him now. Those kind of statements are made from the lives of those who the Holy Ghost fire has fallen upon. What am I saying, all of these things? Now listen, what we need Alright? His steadfastness of faith. And Satan is resisted. He can't do anything to you. He can't. Well, just to his personal gist, you know. My wife's car had a kind of accident, you know, a few days ago. Seriously damaged, you know. And somebody said, what happened? I said, it's two angels. Ask everybody that said me, what happened? I said, two angels. I said, one is called mercy. One is called goodness. That desire to hit the car and dent it. Satan, if it touches my car, I kill him myself. You know, it didn't cross my mind. I said, Satan, I resist you. You will not get my property. It didn't cross my mind. I said, Satan, I reject you. I resist you. I said, my deal is with my God. Maybe an angel is trying to catch my attention. I'm not paying attention. So he gives my car a kick. I said, what was that? Let me ask you a simple question. All right? Listen to this. If Balaam had died on that way, who would have killed him? An angel of God. Not the devil. Not Satan. Not an evil spirit. One angel that came from God, that loves to obey God, doesn't like to disobey God. The one that stood on the way. 90 donkey became his fire. Donkey saved his life from an angel of God because he wanted to get his attention. What am I going to explain? Forget Satan. What did I say? What did I say? Forget the devil. You and him are not roommates. You are not classmates. You are not from the same family. Your father and his father are not related. Your mother and his mother are not related. You don't share any genetic makeup. You have more in relation with the baboon than you have with the devil. I hope you know that. So, forget the devil. He's not your problem at all. He doesn't like you. You don't like him. You don't share drinks. When you are doing your naming ceremony, he doesn't come because he's not invited. And wake up in the morning worshiping him. Which is what, you know, I don't know about cultures in the East, but I know about the West. Eshu, which is a word we now adapted for the devil in Christianity. Eshu existed as one of the gods people worshipped those days. But that was not one god they worshipped. It was a god they appeased constantly. They were afraid of him. Regularly, they offer sacrifices to appease him so that he doesn't get angry. So their name was on their lips all the time also, even though they were afraid. It was a wicked soul. What have you done these days? We started worshiping the devil in another way. That's what I'm trying to explain. We don't say, please, we'll now be using, we resist you, we command you. It's the same fear. Every prayer, it starts with Satan, ends with Satan. We know it's against him, but the name is so resounding everywhere that many children know more about the devil than they know about God. One day I was in Winners in Lagos. One woman came to give testimony. Then the devil came. Then the pastor with the little testimony said, what happened when God came? The pastor that was listening to testimony, he got tired of it. And then Satan came and the devil came. The guy grabbed the microphone. He said, what happened when God came? And that's what happens all the time in Christianity. The devil. Please, oh, that devil is not a prayer point. It's not. Wake up in the morning. Satan. It should be a rare thing. The Bible says just be aware of his devices, his tricks. There are things he does so as to take advantage of you. I've said it before. What he does is to tempt. What he does is to deceive. Many of the problems you have in life is an offering from the devil. You can reject it. I don't know whether I get my point. You are going on the way, your head begins to ache. Say, hey, it looks like I'm about to start having migraine. The devil is making an initial public offer, and you are collecting it. Must you buy shares in his disease? No, that's what happens. You resist him steadfast. In faith, just touch the place. By his stripes, I have been healed. He's not, eh? You now call your friend who's a doctor. Eh, doc, wait. If somebody's having headache, begin on the middle of the head and it's going like this, what does it mean? And that one too starts giving you the pathogenesis of lies he learned in medical school. Okay, am I likely to die soon? Does it kill? There was one lady I met once. Doctor, when I was going to Enugu, I thought it was a joke, actually, the way she used to behave. She had a small biopsy taken from her skin. She now came to me. Of course, I'm a pathologist, so I was not examining the sample. Do I think, now, please don't mind some of my big English, is to help, you know, just to illustrate what I'm going to say properly. Actually, this was what really happened. Do I think it is mycosis fungoides? Now, that's a form of cancer. It's a cancer of certain white cells of the blood, all right? And these ones, they tend to grow in the skin. So, like, what? I don't know. Let me explain what I'm saying. You have a skin rash. There are about 200 other things that don't kill people that it could be. Then you go and pick one of the few that kill people and ask me whether that's what it is. You know, I thought it was a joke. And I laughed. I said, madam, get away from here. Then she'll see me on the road. Hey, Dr. Lushina, have you finished looking at my slide? I read this particular book. They were describing how mycosis fungoides looks like. It looks like it, oh. Her brother happens to also be a doctor. And we're in the same church. So one day I said, oh boy, your sister has been harassing my soul. He said, hey, that's the way she is. That she was a child. That she will not, that is, if she's going and her bone starts paining her, she goes to read the book on bone cancer. She doesn't find out whether she fell. I mean, bone never pain you before. Me, if bone pain me, I say, okay, it must be the way I slept. You know, just okay, so you to go. You know, so a lot of those things is Satan offering something and you refusing it. Just have a mindset, what is it? I mean, hope is very important for Christians. According to the word of God, you develop a good perspective towards life. I like one of the readers that just said those days. He said they are known that they are incurable optimists. And I like it. Every Christian should be an incurable optimist. No matter how gloomy and doom they describe for you, look at the good side of it. That's how this lady was. I thought she was joking. Initially, I just thought she just wanted. But after, when I talked to the brother, I said to the woman, listen, this one, you are begging Satan for something. He will soon find one for you. That's what I'm going to explain. A lot of problems you have in life is satanic IPO. Do you want? In fact, it's private placement. We are offering you this. Do you want to buy? Your neck is paining you. You say, hey, I heard that's how tetanus starts. Normally starts in the neck. Satan says, this is a good friend. We'll be able to work together. Any problem in society brings to you first and you will agree. Bank returns your check because you didn't sign signature well. Say, are they being distressed? Are they distressed? My money is there. You are already panicking. He said, no, sir, it's signature. One another say, Satan is not your friend, amen? You are not his friend. You are not neighbors. What he tries to do is to offer things, tries to deceive. Because you are going to die, and if you agree, you will die. But when you refuse, you will not die. You are getting what I'm saying? That's what he tries to do. Now, remember what I described extensively last time is with smooth words, he turns people against the covenant. How did it go again? He said, those that do wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt with smooth words. He corrupts people with smooth words. And I said, but the defense against that is that people know their God. That's it. That people know their God. That is the defense against that corruption. What he tries to do, because without that corruption, he can't get you. He can't get your destiny. He can't get your children. He can't get your career. He knows, and that's why he's always trying to corrupt people. And that's why we're doing in this season, this series of teachings called Prayer and Personal Purification. Because if we are purified, all right, in our walk, in our daily walk, Satan is frustrated. You don't have to wake up in the morning offering libations against the Satans that are against you. Thus, it's not necessary. Just make sure that your way is pure before your God. And Satan always brings temptations. The world by itself is tempting anyway without Satan. Satan is not the only tempter. The world itself, existence is a tempter. I don't know whether you hear what I said.
Yes.
Hunger is a tempter. You know that?
Yes.
Yes, hunger by itself tempts people. Then Satan will now come and cooperate with the hunger to make the temptation more intense. Do you understand what I'm saying? So to be able to overcome the temptations of life, people must learn how to pray. That's what we discussed last time. So Jesus told disciples, pray that you do not enter into temptation. And that was what he went to the garden to go and do. Because life is tempting. That was not Satan really. It was just life. If they are going to beat you and behead you and kill you and join you back and re-kill you, you will be afraid. Satan doesn't have, you don't need the spirit of fear to be afraid. If the fire is shot, you know, your blood pressure instantly goes up. Your heart starts beating fast. Twa, twa, twa. Adrenaline rushes all over your body. That's not Satan. You literally panic. You have to train yourself not to panic. When a soldier hears that kind of gunshot, he does not panic. He's been trained not to panic. He knows the first shot, if he hasn't killed him, another one is coming. Immediately he dodges. Let the next one come. He's been trained. In the same manner, we train ourselves. This world can be tempting. The world tempts us to fear. But we use the word of God and prayer. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. All right? Because when Jesus was going to be tempted like that, even without Satan doing anything, what he was going to go through was very, very difficult. So he went into the garden to go and pray. And he prayed until he had the strength to face the trials. He prayed until he had the strength. That's what he did. He prayed. He was not there. Pray, Satan, you won't get me. Satan, you won't get me. You cannot. No, he didn't mention that one at all. He faced the Lord, his God, and explained simply, this thing is difficult. We're not discussing Satan now. We're not discussing the devil. This one is difficult in itself. Many things you are having that you're going to face in life, they are difficult in themselves. And there's nothing like, no, I'm a strong man. You're not strong. They have a saying also, there's a Yoruba proverb that says that, no, in fact, the literal thing is that, it's when war has not reached you, that you say you're a man. That when you see war, even Jesus says, wait, oh, pause, let me enter the garden. Are you getting my point? He entered into the garden to go and gather the strength to be able to face that war. And that's what we are saying. When you have to make decisions in life, the other day I was speaking to a group of medical students, graduating students. I was invited to go and speak a few days ago. And I was saying that money should not be the first thing in your heart in everything you do. At the end of the day, I said many things, spoke for about 40 minutes. Then they were now asking questions. One young man stood up. Ah, Olayinka, you were there. He was bold about it. Okay, this one you are saying about money, we not get to. We don't understand it. Money is important. Society has demands. He spoke, you know. It was not a Christian meeting, so I couldn't start preaching the word of God. You know, I was just supposed to just speak, you know, on a secular basis. Or not, they were my students. They knew I had something to tell them. But, you know, that was the reality of life. I was trying to advise them based on my understanding of spiritual things. Don't make that the primary thing in your life. But like he said, what about demands? You are leaving school. Your father is finally relieved that, praise God, though. Now, somebody is coming to help me, and he's well-trained. He has a professional degree. He should get a good job, and he starts queuing up every problem for you to solve. That's not Satan. That's just this life. Do you understand my point? But you cannot say because of that, we won't obey the will of God. If despite that, God says, oh boy, you are going to be a missionary in Maiduguri at a time like this. You can't refuse. But life is making demands. So he said, what do we do? Because if we disobey the word of God, then we are playing into the hands of the devil. That is when Satan really says, yes, thank you for coming. You are following what I'm going to explain. Now, so what do we do at such times? That is when we pray. Pray that you do not fall into temptation. The other time I talked about good temptations. Was it last time or the one before? Where was it? Okay, the one before. Sometimes it's a good temptation. We still have to pray that we do not fall into them. Please, I'm trying to, you know, because today should be the last day on this planet. I want to just put everything together again. We pray, but Jesus taught us to pray like that so that we'll be able to walk in the will of God at all times. That the pressures of life will not deviate us from the plan that God has for our lives. Sometimes it is not like, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Satan, sometimes it's not Satan. You think Satan has that amount of power? It's not, you know, you can't be in two places at the same time. I hope you know that. It's not God, though. I hope you know that.
Yes.
Is it okay? But there are many demons. Even them, They get limited, or sometimes they don't have time for you. There's something more terrible to handle. But there's a system. That's what it's called, the world system. There's a system that's just there. That system is a worse problem than the devil himself or those his little demons. Just a system. You have to fight that system pushing you in one direction. Not by your own strength, not by your own power, but the power of prayer. And like I've been saying again and again, there's no complicated way to it. It's a simple identify, this is what the problem is. Get down on your knees and talk about it. What am I saying? That's what we spend our energy doing. You know? Not fighting Satan. Not fighting the devil. Not fighting witches. Not fighting the bony men. Not fighting the enemies that are against you. No. You spend your energy with your own security or your own safety. You spend your energy praying that you can walk in the will of God. And I said last time that understanding was the reason why these people were not, were not corrupted, was because they knew their God. I spent time to explain the meaning of the knowledge of God. We spent time on that, to explain the meaning of the knowledge of God. When people know God, then they are strong. I was somewhere today, one of my colleagues and I were talking about things, you know. He was just saying that, it was mentioned one of our colleagues who's the head of one particular parastatal. I don't know why that man is taking a lot of nonsense. That for goodness sake, you're not a politician of that type that has nothing else to do but collect from these people. Just, if you stand for right, if they fire you, be fired. Go and get something else to do elsewhere. Now, when he said that, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. It wasn't that people like that shouldn't be corrupted. They should know that they don't need this thing. That they took you from a place where you had a very good job, doing very well, to come and head this thing. If they won't let you do it properly, walk away from there and go and get a better job elsewhere. Are you getting my point? Or is he saying, the people are not God, you don't have to fear them. That's what he was saying, in effect. They are not God, you don't have to fear them. Therefore, as Christians, when we have understanding that my boss is not God, where I work right now is not God, nobody is God apart from God himself. When we understand that, then we can do what is right. That's what understanding does for you. Therefore, what do we pray for? Paul said it. He was teaching us to pray. I learned this one, like I said last time, as a young believer, those days, University of Benin, we used to read Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said he prayed this prayer for himself until he began to have insight. He prayed this prayer for himself until he turned to his wife and said, what on earth had I been preaching? What was I preaching all this while? Why didn't somebody correct me? Because he has so much insight in a few months, more than he had in all his years of ministry before then, because he prayed this prayer for himself. And what's that prayer? He said he prayed that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto him, I mean for me and you, same thing, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Every believer must have a drive to know. A lot of people want to follow. Listen, my pastor said it's okay for the first year of your life, of your Christian life. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
After a while, my pastor said it should just be a matter of reference. I don't know whether you get my point. But now, like now, when I'm preaching, I quote people a lot, you know. The man I've been quoting, all the one I was talking about earlier, his name is David Savant, all right? The other day you hear me quoting Corey Blake, you know, I talk about Kenneth Hagin, Bishop David Oyedepo, you know. We quote people, all right, because we're just kind of giving honor to whom honor is due. That's a reference, all right? In fact, the other day I told you that Israel and I were discussing. So Corey Blake said it doesn't take a holiday. And that's your own, you're on your own. You know, that kind of, we are listening to him, paying attention. He talked that one, said, bros, you're on your own. Why? Because the word of God says, come aside and rest for a while. We can't say because he said he was following him like a monkey. No, in that area, you should read us. I don't know whether you get my point. In that area, you should buy our own book and read it. How to Work for God. There's a chapter there, or a segment titled, The Work of Rest. Is that not there? Yes. So we should package it and send to Corey Blake. Say, bros, read this one. It will help your ministry. I want to say that what we should be going for is not to follow a man and be proud to wear a label. This is my church. No, we go everywhere to learn. That's it. We just go to learn. We don't go anywhere to know man. We don't go anywhere to belong. We go there as believers, all right, to learn. That's why I've never understood this is my church. I don't have nonsense. If you're thinking denomination, you need to have your head checked. No, I'm serious. That's not supposed to be a joke. So this is not the teaching of the church. Then the church had better wake up. That particular, they better wake up if it's not the word of God. No, think we say we're all Christians. We are the same age bracket. One church is here, and we're finding our church. This is what we say. Now, church, we say, well, why don't we come together, have a discussion on which one is right? Are we not serving the same God? Was that not what happened in the book of Acts? When Paul and co. were preaching one thing, Peter and co. were saying something else, they called a congress. Say, brethren, what's going on? Some of you come here with knife and blade, you want to start circumcising people. Why? And they sat down and deliberated and said, well, this is a summary of it. It is not right for us to place a burden upon these Gentiles, the one that our fathers could not carry. And they all came to an agreement concerning what should be preached. Paul, after 14 years of ministry, he returned to Jerusalem to come and check with those people. He came to see those people that were there when Jesus was around that. Listen, this is what I've been preaching. Was that how he said it? From what I read somewhere once that the account of the Last Supper, Paul wasn't there. He had not seen anybody that was there. He knew it by a revelation of Christ. So one day he went and said, Peter, what really happened that day? Tell me. And then Peter told him what happened. And it just tied exactly with what he knew, even though he wasn't there. And that's what Christianity is supposed to be. It's not in our church we believe in this. In your church you don't believe in it. And we're okay. Look, when Paul said, I accept those people that don't understand, he said, because they are weak in faith. He wasn't saying that we should say, all right, the weakness of faith is the order of Christianity. He said, let's not quarrel until we can come to an agreement. Go and read Ephesians chapter 4. He gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and all of the evangelists. I jumped that. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, until we all grow up to one perfect man. So that's why I don't understand. You know, I'm a Catholic, I'm an Anglican. You know, in our church will do this. Listen, your church can be wrong. It's not human beings that are there. There be spirits. Your church can be wrong. Your church can be very wrong. Any church can be wrong. Any group of human beings can be wrong. And that's why we keep learning. No, you know, let me tell you the truth. It is totally maturity for us as human beings to stick with one thing, say, in our church is how it is. In the other church, it's like that. In the other church, like that. No, we should gather together and say, guys, why is it like this? Why do you say it's like this? No quarrel. I'm ready to learn. Let's all gather together. Why do you? That is one thing I've hardly had preachers agree to. There are very few people that you disagree on something that's very, very famous or popular, you know, and somebody will come sit down and explain it to me. They will tell you that, are you telling me this man is wrong? As if the man can't be wrong. One day I said something to a friend of mine many years ago. We're still very young there. All he had to tell me that, are you telling me Kenny Hagin and Kenny Copeland, they are wrong? Why can't they be wrong? Then be spirit. Listen, any man that's not improving is just dead. So right now, you can't be wrong. I can't be wrong. What is wrong is for me not to ever learn. That's why I'm always reading. Fine-tune some things that you thought was this way. You learn, you get better. That's just what it is. So what I'm going to say is that as believers, what must be most important to us is learning. One day I went for, I think I've told this story before. I used to go to Winner's School of Ministry all the time. So one day I went. So I came back home and called my friend, who was also a believer and a preacher. I said, Femo, please, we need to talk. So he came after his work, sat down. I began to recount all the things, and I said, what do you think? And he will give me scriptures, and we'll talk. We threw the thing up and down at the end of the day. I said, bros, I'm on your side on this one. I'm not on Bishop's side. Next School of Ministry, I was number one to get there too. Why? What's the big deal? We disagree on a few things. What's the big deal? We'll still give fellowship. Some will say, I'm a winner man in our church. This is how it is. A loser man if you are thinking like that. Our church is not the only church on this earth. I hope you know that. I told you just to make this interesting. The only people that I know on this earth that know how to pray public prayer. It's only Catholics and Anglicans. All the other people are confused. All this noise you make, Pentecostals, hey, today let's pray for Nigeria. It's nonsense. And you want to shout like that, go to your own room. Stay alone. You can't come to a congregation making that kind of noise. You come to church on Sunday, there are 2,000 people there, you want to pray for Nigeria. Everybody, silent. One man will come up and give you the response. Then he will pray the prayer and the rest of you will respond according to what he had said and say amen. Only Catholics and Anglicans am I aware of that do that. The rest of us, Pentecostals, mass of confusion. God is writing, say, what did he say? Gabriel said, please, I'm coming. Let me write this guy's own down. See confusion everywhere. Some people are not even saying anything. They just cram this guy's tongues and come and speak it on this side. They're not saying anything. What are you saying? That's how that pastor said it to me. It's a matter. I know the way we pace up and down, like something is pursuing us. Many of us, we don't have that amount of zeal or passion about it. That's just the way we see everybody pray. All of us just be running up and down. We don't do that public prayer in decency and in order. What I'm trying to say, I'm not saying you're going to die and go to hell because of that. I'm just trying to say, you should go and learn. That's what I'm saying. We all can learn something. What am I saying? We should all go for truth. That's what gives you stability. Satan does not respect the father's height in your church. I hope you get my point. No, Satan won't say, okay, let's not tempt him. That's the way it is in his church. If he finds out the way of your church is the way of disobedience, he will help you to do it like that. If the way of your church is the way of disobedience, Satan will help you to obey the way of your church. And God will simply take you and flog you. When Satan comes with accusation against you, he will award judgment against you. And when you say, ah, Lord, why? And I say, wait. The next church was preaching the truth. And I made sure that your friend came to share it with you. But you were not willing to listen. Pride did not let you listen. I hope you are following what I'm saying. What am I saying? Every Christian, truth. Truth. That must be the thing driving you. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. Don't come and hide behind somebody. Because my pastor said like this, you hide behind him. When the day your pastor sins, they will punish you. Join. I hope you know that. No, don't hide behind human beings. You heard me say this before. When David sinned, 70,000 people in Israel died. No, wait. Who sinned? When Job was being tempted, they killed all his workmen. Because Job was being tempted. Now I pray one day. I said, Lord, if you wish, kill me, no problem. Destroy me, no wahala. But please, just make sure it is for my own sin. Don't let one man somewhere be committed. They now say, 70,000 people, that you now join me. No. That's the one I won't agree for. What do I need to do to ensure that my punishment will be for my own backsliding? It will not be because my general overseer, archbishop, did something wrong. He now draw this thing down. And God knows how he draws it. It's all those who that follow blindly. I'm not joking about it. They are the ones he picks. They don't reason anymore. The word of God is not first in their hearts. It is belonging and conforming that's first in their hearts. So I said, God, I thank you very much for this understanding. Therefore, I shall read the Bible. I'm not anybody's friend. I'm not anybody's enemy. I'm just on the side of God. That is why, you know, I don't go to deeper life. Do I look like a man that goes to deeper life? Yet, once I reasoned to myself, I said, we can get to heaven now. And God will say, I told my son, W.F. Kumuyi, to say something. Did you hear it? I said, oh, you know, Lord, I didn't used to go to that church. I didn't like the way the men were dressing. That's not the will of God. So I went and sat down and listened to some of his messages. When my decoder used to work, then I used to flip to keep it on the channel. Just watch him small. Yes, lest it be said that there was something we told him to say, and you refused to hear it. As soon as I finish, I turn around, listen to somebody on the other extreme. Once the word of God is in your mouth, I'm not saying that you listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Once they come on TV, I change the channel. I know their career. Liars. Once they come on TV, I change the channel. I don't say anything there. There's one man of God, very, very good minister. He preaches well. As long as he's not raising money, I listen. Because once he starts raising money, you see all the lies. They just start. So when he's talking, I'm writing. I'm paying attention. When I say that, there's a particular key for... I just changed the channel. Thank you, sir. Kenneth Higgins said something, that he has been there watching. One man will yield to the Holy Spirit, then turn around and yield to familiar spirits. I'm old enough to know. Well, one day I was in one church. I won't mention the name of the church. If I mention the name of the church, you will know the church, because the church is in Enugu here. And it's somewhere around Enugu here. So one day I went to, they said they had this special program. I went there. And this man of God came from somewhere. He was blowing hot. How the word of God is important. I said, yo, wow, this is good. Ah, this man has really repented. Ah, he was blowing hot. Ah, you need to know God. Ah, I said, this is good. In fact, no, the first day I heard a bit of it, so one of my friends said, who's that guy? I said, don't mind. I said, no, now. Achooks. You give him some. I was there. He preached well. He said, hey, when did he start preaching well? I said, maybe I mentioned one man's name. I said, it sounds like that man has influenced him more. Ah, so my friends and I, we enter Moto again. We are going to go and listen. We sat down, and he was there, blowing hot. I said, praise God. Then suddenly, there was no explanation. The message just changed. How to bring offering to kill the sins of generations. Now I say, I beg, let me just say this to you, make you laugh. One of my friends, the same church actually, early morning they had the program. He said, I was in my house in the morning, around to 7 in the morning. My phone just rang. He said, Pastor. I said, what is it? He said, there's problem. It's my colleague at work. He said, Pastor, there's problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, look at it though. That early morning, they told him in church to come tomorrow morning. That they had this special anointing service. So he carried his wife, carried children. Drive, go job by 6 a.m. Then the man began to preach. God is going to bless somebody today. Everybody said amen. God will bless somebody today. Everybody said amen. There are 50 people that God will bless. If you are more, shout. Everybody, you know the way now. Okay, if you are monk, run forward now with 10,000 naira. My friend just dragged his wife. Come, let's go. He was so angry. Just dragged his wife by the hand. It was when he got outside, brought out his phone. By that time, it was to 7. Now he called me. He said, Pastor, I said, what is it? He said, there's a problem. He got angry. He just dragged his wife by the hand. That one dragged the children. And he just walked out of the church. He was so angry. That you made me wake up at 6 in the morning. Why didn't you just call me and say, oh boy, send 10K? She said, I would have sent it and continued my sleeping. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is that sometimes, me, I know how to do that. I know when you have in the spirit and when you have left the place. I'm telling you. But whatever it is, whether I agree with you generally or not, I pay attention. I pick my own. You know why? My duty is to what? Learn. I want to learn. And that's what must be your duty as a Christian. It is knowledge and wisdom that will be the stability of your life. That is the stability of your life. That is the strength of your spiritual walk. It is knowledge and wisdom. And that is what you must go for all the time as a believer in Christ Jesus. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. Listen, that's the basis. That's the main thing concerning personal purification. All right, the Lord is good. All right, let's now do something. I want us to just take, it's our school of prayer. I think this would be a good point to end our teachings on that prayer and personal purification. 2 Timothy chapter, we won't read it. How do we start this? Let's rise to our feet. We want to pray. Let's rise to our feet. I want to just declare the word of God. You declare the word of God concerning your life. I'll read out some things to us, and then we'll use that one to just declare the word of God. Let me start from that 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says something here. He said, don't bother opening to you, I'll just read out to you. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, we're going to do this as a kind of declaration. At the same time, it's a prayer. And you say concerning yourself, say it loud, speak to yourself, speak to God, speak to the air, let the devils hear it, let the angels hear it, let everybody hear it, that this is what you are declaring concerning your life. We are praying specifically about the matter of understanding. You understand that? All right, based on that, let's just say this. Say after me, say, I endure sound doctrine. I do not listen to my own desires. Say like you believe it. I do not listen according to my own desires. I do not have itchy ears. My ears are turned to truth. I have understanding more than my teachers because the word of God is my constant meditation. Say like you believe it. I have understanding more than my teachers because the word of God is my constant meditation. You know what he said? Listen to this. David was speaking. He said, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for your words are ever before me. He said, I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I keep your precepts, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. That's the Amplified rendering. That's from Psalm 119, verses 98 to 100. Therefore, let's say this. He said, the commandments of God have made me wiser than my enemies. For his words are ever before me. Say it. I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers. Because God's truth and his word are my meditation. Say the commandments of God has made me wiser than my enemies. For his words are ever before me. Say I understand more than the elderly. I understand more than the elderly who do not know divine truth. Because I keep the Lord's precepts. Now listen to it. Just like Amplified said it, all right? He said, because I keep your precepts, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. Say, I love to hear them.
I love to receive them.
And I love to obey them. Say it, I love the precepts of God. I love to receive them. And I love to obey them. Now listen to this. Paul writing to Timothy said, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. I'm just picking a small portion from there. That is, he's saying that the knowledge of the Word of God is what produces wisdom for your salvation. If you go to our series, I think both radio and some of the ones we did here on Saturdays, I talked about wisdom for salvation. What is wisdom for salvation? There's something you will do that will turn your situation around. It's not just about knowledge now. It is the application of knowledge for a particular situation so as to bring you out of there into another level. So Paul said to Timothy, the foundation for that is the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. That will make you wise, and then you will be able to tap into the thing to do so as to bring forth salvation. So let us declare. Say, I have understanding in the Word of God. Therefore, I have wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, therefore, I have wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, my eyes are open. And I have insight. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I am not subject to deception. Because I love the Word of God.
I am not subject to deception.
because I love the word of God.
Now listen to this.
This is very important, all right? So that's what you need to declare all the time. I was saying, I think it was on Saturday, that if it is visions and dreams, they don't mean anything. You get my point? Yes. I mean, people with familiar spirits, they can prophesy and it will come to pass. They can tell you, as the latest joke, the Arsenal will not win match again until the new king, the new boy becomes king. I don't care. I don't know when they won the last one. When they are, none of my business. Doesn't mean you have sense. All right? Nostradamus predicted things more accurate. Was he a prophet? Should I follow him into salvation? I beg, leave me alone. Amen? You get what I'm saying? So these are not the things that make for somebody to follow. You are predicting things that are coming to pass. All right? I've said before, God anoints some people to go and deceive people. And you've seen it before. God said, okay, go and deceive them. They want to be deceived. The only security is that you love the word of God. You are not following things for those signs. You are following so that you can walk in righteousness. That is the security. I think it was on Saturday I said that. That is the security. That I'm not following because of signs. I'm not following because of what I'm going to get. I'm following because I want to learn so as to walk in righteousness. So let us declare it again. Say, I have understanding in the word of God.
I have understanding in the word of God.
Therefore, I have the wisdom that leads to salvation.
My eyes are open.
And I have insight because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
I am not subject to
deception. Because I love the word of God. You know, John says something. Say it loud. He said,
it is written
that I have an anointing from God the Father. Say,
it is written
that the Spirit of truth is with me. And he leads me into all truth. There's one scripture I want us to read. Everybody open your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 11. We'll read that one and we'll close there. And we're going to use that one again for our declarations. We'll do that and we'll close. All right, so if you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now say verse 1. It said, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Now notice verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. What is the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He said he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his ears see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And let me just stop there, because of we can read the rest of it later, but let's just stop here and take our declarations from that. Very important. Alright, so you say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Say it again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
I want you to meditate as you are saying it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Therefore, I have the Spirit of wisdom.
I have the Spirit of understanding.
I have the Spirit of counsel and strength.
I have the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
Say, I delight in the fear of the Lord.
I delight in the fear of the Lord.
Say that, I do not judge by what my eyes see.
I do not judge by what my eyes see.
Nor make decisions by what my ears hear.
Nor make decisions by what my ears hear.
But I have the Spirit of wisdom. I have the Spirit of counsel and strength.
I
jumped one there. I have the Spirit of understanding. I have the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And I delight in the fear of the Lord. It's very important. Listen, what it means to have a spirit of something, he talks about what you tend to naturally. Are you getting my point? That's what it means. When talking about the spirit of fear, it means the person is only getting afraid, every little thing. They hear that, hey, a bridge collapsed in Ore. I'm thinking, hey, which of my family members is in order? Are you getting my point? That's the spirit of fear. That's the first thing that comes to mind. What calamity will have befallen me? That's the spirit of fear. And the spirit of wisdom is something, is the type that any something happens, you instantly you learn from it. But I wrote one of the most interesting articles I ever wrote. I don't know how many of you have read it. Lessons from a traffic jam. I don't know how many of you read it. I was just driving. My wife and I just watched that guy. I got home, sat down, and wrote that thing. Watching a man misbehave inside traffic. It's called the spirit of wisdom. That is, it's not just about getting angry and vexing. Just watching it, I've learned something. You understand what I'm saying? So it's important when you go out in the morning, let that be your mind. I have the spirit of wisdom. I have the spirit of understanding. I have the spirit of wisdom. I have the spirit of understanding. Very important. Let's declare it once more before we close. Say, I have the spirit of wisdom.
I have the spirit of wisdom.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have the spirit of understanding.
I have the spirit of understanding.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
I have the spirit of counsel and strength.
I have the spirit of counsel and strength.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon
me. Say, I have the spirit of knowledge.
I have the spirit of knowledge.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me.
I have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Important.
I have the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Because the spirit of the Lord is upon me. I delight in the fear of the Lord, and I judge with righteous judgment. Let us give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, I thank you. Just thank God in your own words. Thank God the way you want to speak those words. Just say it in your own words. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for insight. Thank you for confidence in faith. Thank you for leading me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you for helping me to have insight in the matters of life, judging everything according to your word, not according to human traditions. Don't forget, all of these things is for personal purification. Those that know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. If understanding is in you, there are some temptations you will not have. Daniel and Co. understood the power of God. They were not tempted to compromise in Babylon. Those temptations came before them like everybody else, but they did not fall for it because of the spirit of insight. So thank God for it. Thank God for his word. Thank God because you love that word. And I want you to know the word is transforming your life. A day will come, you will hardly recognize yourself. I'll remove the impatience from you, remove anger from you, remove fear. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Please, let's not forget, the way I learned that thing from Kenneth Hagin then, which is something I still teach you today. He said he used to pray that prayer for himself all the time. And for me, let me put another thing to it. Follow it up all the time with the spirit of thanksgiving. Do you understand my point? And then create a habit of learning. What did I call it? What did I call it? It's very important. Create a habit of learning. There are things that we must all do. There's no this thing in it. You know, a friend of mine told me that, you know, yeah, you like to read. I like to listen. I said, but you, what you listen to is music. If you say you like to read, but me, I like to listen to messages. Yes, that is okay. You can play it. It's okay. But say you like to read, but you are listening to music. That's not the same thing. Your life will not go straight. Listen, let me tell you something. People say, pray, God speaks to them. Let me just tell you something now. God is not in the habit of talking to everybody. Forget all that Pentecostal light. Say you pray, your spirit becomes silent. It's your thoughts. When your spirit becomes silent, your thoughts take off and start talking nonsense. You start planning your future for you. You think it's the spirit of God. When we were in school, we saw those kind of things. God spoke to me to marry her. Yeah, she did not agree. God didn't speak. Come and fool me. Eh? I said, listen, God doesn't just talk recklessly like that. He talk. He doesn't. What did I say? Anything he has told me. I'm not joking about this. Anything he has told me, bank, and you are around here, you come here, he's not likely to tell you. Why? He expects you to go and learn it from when I'm talking about it. No, that is the way it works. You think everything I say, I had to pray until God said it to me? No, I read it in Kenneth Hagin's book. I corrected John Gillett's book. I read it. I said, God, don't worry. Don't need to say it. You're already saying it here. What I say to one, I say to all. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to people. Did I say that? Stop waiting for it. Look, listen. By the time you finish reading the ones he has said to other people, before you finish obeying that one, self, you understand? You are busy. They will now sneak in one new one to you. Remember what Corey Blake said was his experience. He traveled, he said, just wants to know how to do the will of God. When he got there, before he said the word, as Asambra said, to know the will of God, read the Bible. That's all. Just read. Forget all of this, your prayer. Just read the Bible. That's it. I've seen people walk in confusion, unnecessary confusion. And it's paining me because you're a preacher. You know, I talk a lot about preachers, all right? It's paining me because, you see this book, just read it. Just read it. I just said, this is Kenneth Higgins. I believe in visions. Just read it. God doesn't need to tell me now, Banky, if you don't follow my will for your life, you may die at the age of 55. I don't need to hear it from him anymore. What I say to one, I say to all. I heard him say it to Kenneth Hagin. I heard him say it to other people. I have read it from them. It has now become my own. Look, it's just out of courtesy, you know, that you mention names. There are times you don't even have to mention. If it's true, you don't have to mention anybody's name. Anything you hear me preach here, maybe you come here, hear me preach. And I say, one day one of my brothers he called me. That please, they invited me to come and preach somewhere. And the message I want to preach is what is in that your book. Choice is key to destiny. Please, I need your permission. I asked him, my permission. My permission for what? I said, I told him, I said, bros, that book is not my own. It's our own. The thoughts inside are not my own. It's our own. It belongs to our father. If out of court you mention that I read this person's book like I do, well, okay, I have nothing against it, but you don't even need to do that. Once you are persuaded that that is true. I said, bros, you don't need my permission, no. Fire on. You don't need my permission. There's no, I can copyright, I can patent my method of interpretation of scriptures. We just say some of these things, just because sometimes as you're talking, remember somebody says something. Oh, I heard this man say this. It's been a blessing to my life. Okay, fine. But it's not his own. Just because of, you know, I see some people say that don't dub this tape. No, there are laws that don't obey. You know, that's why our messages are free on the internet. Because there are laws that I broke long ago. And I have no apologies. If a book is not available, once it's a spiritual book, I will photocopy it and I won't say sorry. If it's freely available, I'll buy another copy. If it's not freely available, we'll go to the photocopying center. Then we'll go before God in heaven and say, Lord, I photocopied your word and spread it. He said I shouldn't. Yeah, are you getting my point? No, that's it. So, listen. Whatever God has said to one, read it. Please, I keep on saying, if you're a preacher, there are books you must read. Robert Liardon's God's Generals. That volume one, read that book. I believe in visions, Kenneth Hagin, read that book. Following God's plan for your life, Kenneth Hagin, read that book. Ministry Gifts by Kenneth Hagin, read that book. He gave gifts unto men by Kenneth Hagin, read that book. Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Read that one. That one will tell you are not going to hell, number one. But when you get to heaven, they're going to flog you. When you read the journal, you will get that point. So if you think, let me just make heaven, you have made it. But whether you will be flogged or not is another issue. Read The Call also by Rick Joyner. These are beautiful materials you must read, especially Final Quest. Don't forget, safety is in reading. We read that from Deuteronomy chapter 17. This was the commandment of the kings of Israel. You will read. And that's number one law, as far as I'm concerned, walking in the spirit. Constant reading. I told you I met a man once in a place. He said he needed to read this book. Otherwise, that was a business by the book by Rick Joyner. Otherwise, you won't know when you start serving. That's it by Rick Joyner. You know, I was wondering what everybody was talking about when I finished talking and they all repeated. So I quickly played back the last thing I said and I now heard Rick Joyner. Oh, bro, Rick, you try, but don't be right that one, all right? It's Larry Bucket. You should read it. Keep on reading. Some things in there are tough. They are hard. They are hard. They will take money from you like this. Regional will say, pay. He say, oh, God, this is not fair. He say, pay. That's a regional again. Larry Bucket. But I've read many materials. That's about the best, as far as I'm concerned, on the issue of doing business for a believer. There's only one thing in it that I would like to modify. I would like to discuss with him so that, because sometimes, you know, I think it's late now. I'd love us to discuss some of those things. Just one thing. But, I mean, if a book is okay, 99% by my judgment, you know, that one thing, he may be right and I'm wrong. You understand my point? Uh-huh. So that's a it's a good book. If you're a businessman, buy two copies. You know why you need two copies of one of these books? This copy is my own. This one is love copy. That is, I could lend people. When I say, please, Brother Chus, can I borrow your business by the book by Larry Bucket? Say, go, read it, and bring it back. Then you find another person, say, please, can I borrow the book? He say, I have lent it to that person. Go and queue. You know what? That's your own. You ain't giving anybody. He say, is that love? Hey, lest it is not enough for the two of us. That's what the Bible says. So I have bought two copies. If I have more money, I buy 10. But this is my own. It's my own. I have to read it. When if I lend anybody my I Believe in Visions, I could go and buy another one. I'm serious. I almost bought another one recently. Not knowing I had bought another one. You have to read it so you don't die at the age of 55. If you don't read that book as a preacher, you die at 55. That's a coded statement. Before you know what's happening, you go and start a ministry and he didn't send you. Why? That's what's raining. And that's it. One angel stands on your way in front of your car one day and kicks your car into the river. He says, the devil. It's not the devil. It was you that was not going the direction that you were sent. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something as we close. The devil can't kill you. Is that here, amen?
Amen.
I know he wants to. I know he wants to. But he can't. In fact, when you are going on the road once in a while, just look for any dark corner. Do like this. that's as if they, now there you do. Oh. He can't do anything. The more he vexes, the more you are blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
our issues is between us and our God. We want to walk righteously. We want to walk with insight. We want to walk with understanding. That's how we are going through everything we are going through. And if we do that, we are guaranteed of one thing. We will fulfill God's destiny for our lives.
Amen.
Listen to me. You will fulfill God's destiny for your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I hope you've gotten my point today. Once again, let's just give it out and just say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks for the word that came for today. If you are blessed by that word, just say, Lord, thank you. I worship you. Say it again. Say, Lord, take my heart. Take my life, everything. Use it for your purpose. Thank you because I've been redeemed. I've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, take my life. He said he died for all. One died for all. That those who leave me no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and yet rose again on their behalf. So, say, Lord, I live for you. Say, Lord, I live for you. I declare that I'm living for you. I declare that I'm living for you. I'm walking in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. I'm walking in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Your name is glorified in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for doing it all for me. I say yes to you once again in the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness will follow you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
His mercy will be with you at all times in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
His healing power is yours in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare once again, according to the word of God, that you have a sound mind in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, the devil will not confuse you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare that insight is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Understanding is yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wisdom is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Stability is yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. I declare, therefore, that your path is shining brighter in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, your beginning may be small, but your latter end will greatly increase.
Amen.
Increase is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say it again, right now you may be small, but you will increase in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the word of God to you. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion. I say to you again, be fruitful in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I declare that in your work you will multiply in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That your enterprise, your ministry, your involvement in anything will fill the earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, dominion is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dominion is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I know what I am doing. I, as a person, Banky here, that the word of God that I'm preaching will fill the earth as the waters cover the seas. That's my own ministry. Your ministry also will fill the earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God's name will be glorified in your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.